Hello and welcome to Podcast on Fire 126. And my name is Kenny B, going at it alone this week, and I'll explain why. But first of all, some brief contact information. This is the anchor show of the Podcast on Fire Network, located at podcastonfire.com with about six other shows. Our email is podcastonfire@googlemail.com. If you want to check us out on the message forum, you can, podcastonfire.com/forum. We are not taking registrations currently due to problems with spam, but those of you who have registered before during these few years that we've been here, you have access to the members-only archive of cut conversations and outtakes and exclusive reviews, literally hours of extra Podcast on Fire Network experience. But you can also nowadays experience the extra added Podcast on Fire Network experience via the bonus episodes located on the website podcastonfire.com. And that will not be available, those episodes will not be available on iTunes or Stitcher, only exclusively at podcastonfire.com. The discussion from the message forum, rather, has migrated to Facebook, and we have two little endeavors in that regard. Facebook.com/POF Network is our page, and you can also join the discussion group that you can reach by typing in Podcast on Fire Network in the Facebook search box that will pop up. Ask to be added, and we'll gladly add you. And also follow us on twitter.com/podcastonfire. I do my writing on sogoodreviews.com and my video reviews on sleazykvideo.com. But I do integrate the video reviews on sogoodreviews.com, so I guess that's true. There won't be any update this week due to me being busy, and I'll explain what I'll be doing. So you'll have to live with the fact that the Body is Willing review will be up as the main review, the latest review, for a little while longer. But it's a good one from David Lai, director of Savior of the Soul. And it's an erotic drama, much better when viewed on DVD, lots more sex and drugs. And don't we all like that when we get that in movies? And I'm also on Twitter talking about all that stuff. Twitter.com/SoGoodReviews. You can subscribe to the Podcast on Fire Network on iTunes. And we would very much appreciate if you left us a rating and a comment if you like the show. And you can also listen to us via the application Stitcher, available on Stitcher.com. And also available for the various smartphones and tablets out there. So go to your nearest app store and download the free application. Once you're in there, it's rather good. You can just type in Podcast on Fire Network and you can add each individual show on the network. So it's solely me, as I said here. This is akin to a POF quickie, if you will, as we're skipping most segments tonight. I am doing a network update. And essentially, it's only the movie review of the week this time. So it's a shorter one, but that's not a bad thing at sometimes. And a reason all is because my time is limited this week, as I will be largely away at the Sweden Rock Festival. This is actually recording on a Tuesday, and I'll be publishing on either Friday or Saturday. The episode is called Bloody Friday. So as I said on Facebook, if you're vocal enough, I might publish it on Friday during my brief time that I'm at home every day. But Sweden Rock Festival is near here, but I'm going home every day. I'm not fucking sleeping out there. It's too cold, and I like my bed too much. So there you go. But I'll be over there at that festival, taking in the atmos, the beer, and the music. And it's really my favorite week of the year. So I'm off for 2 days from work. I'm gonna catch a lot of bands, maybe just a little of some, you know, a little Motorhead, a little Electric Boys, a little or a lot of Cannibal Corpse, Danko Jones, Entombed, Imperial State Electric, Ugly Kid Joe, Little Angels, Fiddler's Green, etc. I'm in harmony when working with movies via my writing and the podcasting here and the researching for the podcast. But despite not being a huge metalhead, as the festival is more known for that, you know, hair metal, if you will, if you want to be really, really brief about it and really generalize. They are more versatile now, though. I mean, the Cannibal Corpse wouldn't have a chance on that to get onto that bill a few years ago. But what the point I'm making is it's another week in the year amongst many weeks that means pure harmony for me. So that's a good thing to strive for, to have in your life, if you will. So I got my newly bleached mohawk ready. I'm ready, but I thought I'd give you guys my views on an underrated Hong Kong movie before I leave. So it's what we do almost every week, and almost going back to to the first year of podcasting, we did a Ken's underrated film segment, and my picks for the weeks that I do pick are akin to Ken's underrated film segment, if you will. I usually don't pick a bad movie necessarily, or maybe in the future I will pick something that's really bad but it's fun to talk about and fun to watch. So, but Bloody Friday certainly isn't. And again, I'm going all solo, all really frightened, and I'm still no Jake McLarge huge when it comes to these solo chats. That is still the Sifu of the solo chat, and I will certainly never be in that division. So kowtow to master, if you will. So a little bit of network updates. Worth noting was the release earlier in the week. You're listening to this on a Friday or a Saturday. Of the director series 5 on Nam Nai Choi's Her Vengeance, that featured me and Hong Kong Dave, who's currently in Hong Kong, discussing the merits or lack of, maybe, because you don't know our views yet. So, of that movie and of its different incarnations, because there's a Category 3 edit that is short and an extended but cut Category 2 edit. So we looked at both essentially. Also, you got a bonus episode attached to that episode where we reviewed the Shaw Brothers movie Kiss of Death, starring Law Leet, and Her Vengeance was a remake of Kiss of Death. So three podcasts this week, more than enough for a fix. Overdosage perhaps, but I do believe in being productive. It's what I do. It's how I keep my head straight and in balance and in harmony and what have you. So it's all good. A little about what we've done. On this week in Sleaze, specifically, despite neither episode 8 or 9 having been released, they are done and edited. Me and the great Lord Joshua Regal recorded This Week in Sleaze 10 2 days ago, that featured the reviews of Rape by an Angel 2, The Uniform Fam. Fam, I'm saying fam, I said fam on the fucking show, and I'm still doing it. The Uniform Fan, not a family that all have uniforms on, so phew. Save that one. And we also did Rape by an Angel 3, Sexual Fantasy of the Chief Executive. And of course, in episode 8, we had the coverage of the first Rape by an Angel. And Dan Ernie, by the way, the great Lord Joshua Regal used his English accent again, and I encouraged it. Hope you like it. And there's a reason This Week in Sleaze has been in heavy production, and it's largely due to the fact that our schedules, me and Josh's, have synced up. But it's a show I do live for, as I live for every show on this network. But this one presents an opportunity that I feel is a blessing, to an opportunity to highlight undocumented on the fringe cinema that no podcast that I know of anyway do on a regular basis, covering these Category 3 movies and even going back in history and looking at older exploitation, the start of exploitation. And I really like it. I like listening to it. I want to hear it, and I hope others do too. So that's the brief network updates, and that means we're already at the point where it's time for the main review of the week. So after the little musical break, I'll be talking of Bloody Friday from 1996. So, welcome back, and the plot for Bloody Friday from 1996 is the chase for the Friday Killer. An awfully clever motorbike rider in black drives Cop Co, played by Simon Yam, slowly but surely towards the brink of being burned out and insane, all while also protecting the one call girl this killer targets, call girls who survived the Black Friday Killer. That is Rachel Lee's character of Maggie. And he also tries to protect his family, obviously. And the brief background you can share about this movie is directed by Danny Goh, who is co-director on The Day That Doesn't Exist and The Crucifixion, and neither of which were standouts. But if anything, I'm kind of looking forward to rewatching Crucifixion. I it was okay and solid, but I remember some effort in there, so I'll be looking at Crucifixion again at some point. I have the VCD lying around somewhere. It also co-stars Bloody Friday, that is, Ada Choi as Simon's wife, Elvis Choi as the police captain who sits down all the time. It's a great gig for Elvis. And Emily Kwan as Maggie's furious sister. Emily was in, amongst other things, she was in The Untold Story as the female cop that the other male cops, Macau cops, make fun of because she's not pretty. Classy stuff. It enjoyed the Bloody Friday a rather long cinema run in 1996, playing almost a month, but there were no box office figures on HKMDB, but hopefully a solid taking. And it was also one of only nine movies for Simon Yam in 1996, so he slowed down. I think he had maybe twice that in during some years between 89 or 93, circa. But onto my view of the film. For me, it's one of those gems that kind of wonderfully pops up after let's say you've watched maybe 10 or 20 crap films, but the fun was had with many of those. And it's a wonderful experience to find something that really makes you sit up, literally. And it's really an intense, dark thriller, something Hong Kong did very few times without breaking for comedy, at least. There's a movie that always pops up in my mind called Missing Man that I think we're going to bring it to the podcast on Fire Network somehow. It's a really solid thriller. And what Bloody Friday really has too, based on that plot, you can almost guess this, is elements of the slasher movie with a perfect killer at the helm, or under the helm, if you will. But if you're going to argue that a perfect killer, stuff like that is not realistic and the plan is too perfect as it gets revealed towards the end and all that, you and I as movie viewers won't get on. I tend to just relax and let go of that stuff, and I'm a bit dumb too, so I can't spot when certain things are lacking in realism, if you will. But so that's just me. Opening is fantastic, before the credits come on the screen. It's suitably enough a murder, and it ends with blood splattered on the ground via the preferred crack the skull killing method of the killer, leading into the title screen, blood on the ground, the title screen, and then an animated knife comes into the frame as part of that title, the credit on print. And it's a crude animation, but still, that was fun. I mean, as dark as this all is, it's also a well-injected piece of quirky fun, looking at that. I mean, it's not a movie that is comedic as such, but I didn't mind this bit of winking at the audience. And it seems like we have a genre fan or fans at the helm here. And speaking of that, you have nods to horror cliches in the movie, not in an annoying way, like character stupidity, which is a horror cliche, a wonderful one at the best of times, with characters walking alone in alleys at night on that Friday where everybody knows the Bloody Friday killer is out there. And even the score is very, I don't know, I got the sense that it was really inspired, and I hope it's not stolen, by John Carpenter in feel. But the star here is, well, the spotlight is really shared, in my opinion, but it really is the star, and it's the stunt work and editing that all conveys pain very well, with the murders mostly consisting of pipe beatings, breaking your skull. That's a horrible concept, and they sell that well. And filmmakers, they decided on an element like this, a bike element, and they obviously needed to deliver sharply to make a good movie, and clearly to make a good movie while conveying the horror of murder, which they really do. And one, moving on a little bit into the movie, where the cops try to catch him, and they have some of them have a large band of cops and units at his disposal, and there's a scenario where there are literally almost an army of them that can't catch one. And it was a scenario in my mind. It was very fun that so many, you know, we're talking at least 100 cops just running after the biker, while he drives through the crowd, and the one who catches up to him and tries to take him down in this beginning part of the movie is of course Super Cop Co, Simon Yance Co, who can of course drive a motorbike convincingly as well. You know, this is the high point of the Super Cop, so it makes sense, before going very, very low. And there's a sequence where there's essentially like a jousting match, if that's how you say it, you know, pipe against pipe, then several rounds of jousting, if you will. And it is cartoony, but in a terrific way that doesn't break the need for darkness, you know, the intent of darkness. It's still an intense dark thriller that is light and quirky and kind of fun and terrific as the sequence is that I told you about, but it isn't breaking for comedy in that obvious way. So I think it's well integrated, and it all moves really fast, and as a movie it's not a great big character drama or anything. It sets up a basic nature, and it doesn't need to set up more than is needed for the essential drama, including the effect that all of this has on Simon Yam's family, if you will. And there's a minor bit I want to mention. You never see this sequence that involves Rachel Lee's character surviving the attempt at cracking her skull by the Friday killer, but he has been driving inside, trying to kill inside, because there are tire tracks in an apartment building, so we're not talking wide spaces to drive. You know, it's a superhuman killer, and that's also funny, but I don't laugh out loud as such. I just think it's, you know, you smile a little bit and wink at the movie while it winks at you, kind of. But so going with it is no problem, and the killer obviously wants to play with the Super Cop Co, he calls him in a scrambled voice. You hear, you know, want to play a cat and mouse game, and all familiar stuff. One weakness, kind of, but I don't mind it, is that Loletta, or Rachel Lee's character, is a bit annoyingly careless, and she's supposed to be, though, so it's not like it's a horrible performance or anything. This is a young call girl that is annoying, and as I said, annoyingly careless and spontaneous, and really someone that the cops can't control, including Co. And even in the first police interrogation, after she's been hurt, although her trauma after it might have something to do with this, but she's definitely not interested in the police interrogation situation. She's even painting her nails. So there's a relationship building there. Samuel Yam protects her almost solely at one point. And one realistic aspect of the movie is actually that the police do get complaints from the public via their increasingly desperate working methods while investigating, because they fail so much that it becomes a desperate hunt with less and less resources available to Simon Yam. And it's perhaps a little commentary how sensitive it is to conduct a desperate chase, because the public is, you have to be aware of them as well. There is drama here, no more hot, more melodrama, if you will, and it's somewhat crude, but also kind of real, in particular in Ada, Choice, and Simon Yam's scenes, and in particular a scene where she's really affected by this. The family is in danger, and he being calm versus her low tolerance for the danger in an ordinary human's life. You know, we are supposed to have low tolerance for that. Danger is not something that we should relish in or anything. Not that he does, but he is calmer. And she kind of breaks down, and it works, but the borderline's on kind of crude melodrama as well. It happens later in the film, so it's kind of a spoiler, I guess, but I'll keep it a bit hidden. There's a sex scene later on between two of the leads that is really t- tacked on. But then again, as I've said many times in this review, it feels like, to me anyway, one of the many bad decisions by the character. I can say it involves the character of Ko, and it works in the movie's favor to a degree. But you do kind of look at it, and this is almost not working. So a little bit of criticism there. And again, no spoilers here, but I will mention a moment that I thought was really, really chilling. Possibly the most chilling moment in the film. It concerns a character betrayal when someone points a gun against the other, you know, demanding information and doing the, I'll count to three and I'll shoot you. Well, go ahead and shoot me. I'll count to three and I'll shoot you. No, one, you're not going to do it. Two, you're not going to do it. Three, and the character shoots, but the gun doesn't fire. And the reaction from the character on the recipient end of this betrayal is very effective. You know, it breaks mood perfectly into that "I can't believe you did it" kind of mood. So again, it's a great film. It's one of those hidden gems, and all you have to do is let go that the killer is the best planner and mastermind ever, and you'll get to see a low budget but still well made dark and intense thriller. And Simon Yam is always solid, and he is here as well. Elvis Choi sits down all the time. That's funny in its own way, you know. An easy 2-3 days of work, I guess. Maybe a decent paycheck. I don't know what Elvis's rate was, but this was one of those movies that wasn't category 3 rated, so maybe it was good for him to have a more relaxed part where he just sits down. So that's also funny, but never takes me anyway out of the movie. So Bloody Friday comes highly recommended. And if you have any feedback on the film, and share it with us when the podcast episode comes out, and we'll all discuss it, and hopefully you that are interested in it can also acquire the film somehow. And that's me. Tomorrow, this is Tuesday, you're listening to this on a Friday, but and Saturday, and therefore I'm in the midst of it. But tomorrow at this time, I'm leaving for the Sweden Rock Festival. I'm going to have a great time, but I'm back next week, and we'll resume everything, and we have many episodes done already, so there's always going to be podcasts available for you on the Podcast on Fire network, including the Anchor Show, Podcast on Fire. And this is available on podcastonfire.com. Our email is podcastonfire@googlemail.com. Again, message form that you can't register at the moment, but those to you, of you that have, it's available at podcastonfire.com/forum. Check out the members only archive there, but also the bonus episode archive on the website that was added upon this week, as Alex I explained at the top of the show. That is stuff that's only available on the website. Don't go to iTunes for the bonus episodes. Don't go to Stitcher for the bonus episodes. Go to podcastonfire.com. And interact with us on Facebook. Like our page, facebook.com/POF Network. And join the discussion group. Podcast on Fire Network is all you have to write in the Facebook search box, and that group should pop up. And check us out on Twitter as well. twitter.com/podcastonfire. And there won't be a SoGoodReviews.com and SleazyKVideo.com update this week, but check us out, check me out regardless, mixing Erotica and IFT cut and paste, and IFT presented Taiwanese movies, Taiwanese movies in general, Hong Kong horror, Hong Kong new wave, and a mixture of Hong Kong and Taiwan that I absolutely dig currently. So I hope to see you over there, and hit me up with some feedback if you have it. And I'm also on Twitter, twitter.com/SoGoodReviews. And the Podcast on Fire Network is on iTunes. You can subscribe to it via iTunes. But if you like your podcast streamed, go to Stitcher.com. Download that application to your computer, or download it via your nearest app store to your tablet or your iPhone, for instance. And when you're in Stitcher, just write Podcast on Fire Network in the search box, and you can add each show individually. And that's me, a solid, I don't know, 20 minutes off our discussion, but sometimes these episodes are quickies, and maybe that's what the public likes as well. So hope you liked it. See you for episode 127, and this is Kenny B signing off.